Jazzy.
The holidays are a perfect time to reflect, to be thankful for what you have, the family you love, the friends you cherish, and for the blessings that will come. David and Melissa Cotting wish you the hope, the joy, and the wonder of the holidays today and throughout the coming new year.
You're listening to a special New Year's Day presentation on Jazzy, Grandma's old radio, celebrating the golden age of radio, presented as a holiday gift from David and Melissa Cotting and Jazzy 93.7, KJZY Sebastopol.
Memories, of love so true.
More memories as we continue now with Grandma's old radio. Some of the more popular shows during radio's golden age were the detective programs. The hard-boiled Private Eye was offered in abundance. These super sleuths were tough, devil-may-care ladies' men who would take on any kind of a job for a daily fee and expenses. They always, always got the job done, even though they sometimes had to bend the law to do it. These were definitely not the good guys in the white hats, although they were the good guys. Let's listen now to
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
That is the correct answer. You have just won $104 million, six deep freeze units, a stable of polo ponies with matching saddle soap, a terry cloth robe with chocolate bars pre-melted into the pockets, and a full-size, real, honest-to-goodness dreadnought, such as is used by Uncle Sam's Navy.
Oh, I'm sorry you have to call back. I'm expecting to be taking dictation from my employer very shortly.
Oh, I am sorry. Your time is up. And Edna St. Vincent Markowitz, who sent in the question, gets bumped off in front of the studio audience gathered in the Dredgewood Room here in Columbia Square. Next night, don't answer your phone, stupid.
Oh, Sam.
Let's have no coaching, please.
Oh, well, did you find the cop? Was it murder? Was it really worth, Well, you know, priceless and like that, and was it fun?
Yes, 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 and no. And finally, are you kidding?
Well, then why was it called the Vapio Cup?
It's a very old Greek expression, which is what I'll be wearing as I sit in your lap dictating my report on the Vapio Cup caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled Private Eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wildroot brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in the adventures of Sam Spade.
Date, August 22nd, 1948, to Jethro Chiswick, Esquire.
Oh, spelling, Sam.
E-S-Q-U...
No, Sam, I meant the name. Chisro Jethwick.
I did not say Chisro Jethwick. I said Jethro Chiswick. I mean, Chisro... look, we'll check it later. Jethro Chiswick, no comment, please. From Samuel Spade, license number 137596. What's that?
Nothing, Sam, nothing. Throat.
Subject, the Vapio Cup Caper. Dear Commodore, that's the way I like you. Meek. I had always considered myself fairly well-versed in the subject of cups. But if anybody had told me there was such a thing as a Vapio Cup, they could have knocked me over with one, which they did.
Mr. Spade?
Yeah.
I'm Chester A. Brody. I talked with your secretary on the phone. Do you follow?
Oh, yes, Mr. Brody. Sit down. Rest your package.
Thank you. I prefer to hold it for the time being. My card, sir.
Theophilus and Brody, importers and exporters, mm-hmm.
Mr. Theophilus is my partner, Dimitri Theophilus. You follow?
I follow.
It was Mr. Theophilus who brought the Vapio Cup into the firm. I furnished the cash capital.
Vapio Cup, I do not follow.
Yes, indeed. The only one of these treasures to fall into private hands. One of the fabulous Vapio Cups. Those exquisite and cunningly wrought examples of the art of the ancient Grecian goldsmith, excavated by the great Schliemann from a beehive tomb in Sparta.
Beehive.
Mycenaean age. Just west of the Lion Gate.
Oh, the Lion Gate. Pardon me, Mr. Brody. Are you trying to tell me that this cup is very valuable?
Priceless.
And that you have finally managed to find a buyer?
You follow?
And that you want me to deliver that package containing your priceless cup in return with your customer's cash?
Accurately put. I presume you're bonded.
Uncork me and see for yourself.
You are a droll fellow, to be sure.
I had a light breakfast, drolls and coffee. Now, what is this Vafio cup?
I will show it to you. You're about to see a treasure but few eyes have looked upon in our time, Mr. Spade. The Vafio cup. Handle it carefully. It's fragile. You could crush it in your hand like so much tinfoil. Yet this golden relic of a golden age has come down through the centuries miraculously unscathed. Note the delicately wrought lines of the bas-relief, the exquisite draperies on the figure of the caryatid, the anguish on the face of the fallen hunter, the sheer brute force of the wild boar charging to the kill. Holding this golden cup in your hands, you encompass 3,000 years. Do you comprehend why there's no question of insurance here?
Frankly, I don't.
My dear man, an item such as this is worth only as much as a collector will pay for it. This particular collector has offered $200,000. It might never be offered again. You follow?
I follow.
Very well. Here's your fee, $100.
I follow.
And here is the address of my client in Los Angeles, Commodore Jethro Chiswick.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
You will take the noon train.
The package was light and the drawing room and the train was comfortable. Seemed like an easy way to earn $100. I knew it wouldn't last. Never does. I was prepared for the knock on the door and I got ready for the inevitable small dark man who plays the Peter Lorre part, but this one fooled me. He was a tall, thin actor with sandy hair.
Okay, Shamus, hand over the package. You won't be no trouble.
Sure, there it is on the seat. Take it.
Huh?
It's okay. You got me covered. I won't make any move.
Hey, what are you trying to pull?
It's a stick-up, isn't it?
Maybe I got the wrong compartment.
Oh, that's it. The cup's in there. Unwrap it and see for yourself.
Oh, no, you don't. I ain't picking up no booby traps.
Oh, you're yellow, huh?
I know that one, too. Don't cut no ice for me.
Suit yourself. Game of gin?
Hey, you're nuts. I'm getting out of here.
Hey, wait a minute, pal. I'll buy you a drink.
I don't drink.
Lunch?
In a go.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Spade. I agree. Clarence is a very comical fellow.
So are you.
I took the liberty of stepping into your folks' home whilst you had your bit of raillery in the after companionway with my mate, dear Clarence. You mind?
Not at all.
Well, sir, I'm afraid you're going to mind a great deal.
Oh!
And that's how I met you, Commodore. I was so busy sizing up the .45 in your right hand that I didn't even notice when your left whipped out of your coat pocket with one of the largest saps I have ever felt.
Let's hope Sam Spade comes too in time for us to continue in just a moment with Grandma's Old Radio.
KJZY 93.7.
The next time I saw light, you were gone, the Vafio cup was gone, and the train was pulling into San Jose. I got off, rode back to San Francisco with a truckload of chickens, and headed straight for my client's apartment.
You got here quick.
Yeah.
Come in.
Thanks. Well?
Well, what?
Look, we can't both play this deadpan. We'll stay no place.
It's not...
What is?
The body. You're from the police, aren't you?
I'm a private victim.
How dare you?
Hey, what was that for?
For spying on me. You and all the other cheap gumshoes my husband hires.
You're Mrs. Brody?
I'm Enid Theophilus. Did my husband hire you?
My name is Sam Spade. I was hired by one Chester A. Brody, your husband's business partner.
Well, Sam, I hope he paid you in advance, because he's the body.
Chester A. Brody was just barely identifiable. Somebody had worked hard trying to persuade him to say or do something he either couldn't or wouldn't do. The only interesting clue was in the wastebasket. At first, I thought it was a flattened beer can. But it was the Vafio cup, or a facsimile thereof.
Well, how do you like it, Sam?
I don't. He was my client. I wasn't hired to protect him. I didn't like him, but he was my client.
How would you like me for a client?
I'll give you the name of a lawyer, sister.
My name is Enid.
Enid? Now, let's see what I can squeeze out of you before the cops do. Brody was your husband's business partner, and you're,
You don't have to be subtle. He was mad about me. I'm all broken up about his death.
So is he.
That wasn't funny.
That time I deserved it.
You don't like me, do you?
Can't you get it through that steel-jacketed brain of yours that you're in bad trouble, that there's a dead man in the next room beaten to death and you're not supposed to be here?
Oh, I was supposed to be here. We were going to elope as soon as you brought back the money from that Greek thing.
Yeah, what about that Greek thing?
It was an antique. It was called the Vafio Cup.
Yes, I know about that.
Yes, well, my husband dug it up in Greece and smuggled it into the country.
Yeah?
It was all he had, but it was such an important piece that he was able to persuade Chet, the late Chester Brody, that is, to let him in as a full partner.
Then what?
Well, they quarreled. My husband made some bad investments, and Chet wanted to sell the cup to save the firm. Dimitri refused. I didn't think it was fair, so I got the keys to his safety deposit box where the cup was, and Chet arranged to sell it to the Commodore. Did you get the money from the Commodore?
All I got from the Commodore was lumps.
He stole the cup?
Roger.
You've got to get it back.
I've got it.
Where?
Here, take a look.
Well, it's ruined. Where did you find it?
In a trash basket where it belongs.
Dimitri did it. He must have suspected something and substituted a fake. That's it. He knows where the real one is.
Somebody thought that your boyfriend knew.
The one that killed him?
That's the way it looks. Maybe that's the way it was meant to look. You know, somebody might get the idea that you palmed the genuine when you got it out of that safety deposit.
I did it legally, and don't you forget it. A wife can't steal from a husband. Legally, they're one person. You can't steal from yourself. That's the law.
I was wrong. You don't need a lawyer.
Will you help me?
I may hurt you, and it'll cost you anyway.
I know what's good for me. Money. Find that cup.
I know what's good for me, too. So I took her $100, advised her to go home, and made for my own humble lodging. They were not only humble, they were crowded. The man was small, but the gun was enormous. I said, don't bother to introduce yourself. Your name is Dimitri Theopoulos, and you want this package that I'm carrying.
Of that be assured. You obtained this from my dear wife. And how did you find my darling?
Not at the City Pound, surprisingly enough.
Oh, you know my dear wife. How soon you know my darling so well, more than I her husband. Is it possible?
I don't know, is it?
I don't know either. I employ a detective.
Not this one.
I have need. My poor partner, Mr. Brody. You are interesting.
If you are interesting about who killed your partner, that's one thing. But if you want somebody to dig out your family secrets, that is nothing. With me, you are, shall we say, no place.
But why don't I get the right to know? There'll be no trouble, no scandal, no divorcement suing. Of that be assured. Even poor Chester is dead, so he's what one calls ancient history. Please, I cannot hold the gun and handle my wallet at the same time. Please.
No, thanks. You keep the gun. I'll take the wallet.
Oh, you trust me. You will work for me.
Yeah, I'll work for anybody. Here, I left your cab.
Oh, assuredly, you are so very kind.
Oh, I'm not so
now
kind.
The package, yes?
No.
Then I don't hesitate to suit you.
Now, wait a minute.
Yes?
This is the fake. You sure you want this?
Assuredly, yes.
A man has already been killed for it. Your life's a high price to pay for a fake, though fancy, tin cup.
You still think that's the price?
Brother, I know it.
Then you know I will kill you for it.
Okay, if it means that much to you, and I guess it does, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Please remain where you are. If you follow me, I will surely suit you.
My front window, I watched them come out downstairs and start across the street. Then it happened. I saw the gun flash as it fired, and Theophilus slumped to the pavement. The package slid away from him into the gutter. I beat it down to him. He'd taken all three pellets in the midsection from close range. His pulse fluttered once or twice and then stopped. When I went to look for the package, it wasn't there.
Assuredly, Sam Spade will be able to find that package in the thrilling conclusion in just a moment on Grandma's Old Radio.
KJZY 93.7.
I called homicide and waited until they took him away. When I told Lieutenant Dundee what I had in mind, he congratulated me on my brilliant scheme and told me to go ahead with it. That was his mistake. I even talked him out of assigning any of his harness men to watch my building for the next couple of hours. That was my mistake. I went upstairs, opened the bottle, and waited for your knock on my door, Commodore.
Hello, sir. The man would almost think you expected us. Keep a weather eye on him, Clarence. Don't let him get to Leeward.
Aye, sir.
Welcome aboard.
No time for scuttlebutt, Mr. Spade. We are bound for Bulilong Bali on the MacArthur Maru, sailing at dawn. I want that cup. The true, the genuine, the Vafio cup.
No more deceptions, no more trickery. You will hand it over without further delay.
Sure. Be glad to.
Oh, no, not like that. You will tell Clarence where it is stowed, and Clarence will fetch it above decks.
Why, you old barnacle. Theophilus never had his meds on a genuine Vafio cup.
Bilge water, sir. When Theophilus landed in San Francisco, he didn't have a farthing. Now he owes $500,000. If he hadn't got the genuine cup, how could he have borrowed all that money?
Because a bunch of morons like you believed he had it.
Lost my binnacles, man. You sound as though you believed what you're saying.
Look, Commodore, you're interested in high finance. Now, how did Ivor Kruger make his millions?
Why, matches. He was the match king, sir.
Matches had nothing to do with it, Commodore. He started out with $15 million worth of phony government bonds that he printed himself. Follow? They weren't even good counterfeits, but he was smart enough not to try and cash them. He just kept them in a safety deposit box and borrowed money. Theophilus used his phony Vafio cup the same way.
Lost my binnacles, man. You sound as though you believe what you're saying.
That has a familiar ring to it. I do. And I'll tell you why. He knew that that was the fake in the package when he held me up for it. He was willing to risk his own life to get it out of circulation.
Dash my timbers. Old Theophilus has left us without a shot in the locker. He steered us onto the shoals. We're on our beam ends.
Hey, turn them off, Commodore. You're pumping bilge flush. We better haul our wind.
Yes, indeed. I'm afraid it's getting rather warm in San Francisco. Pull along, Beckons.
You won't make it past the potato patch.
What?
The cops are going to want some answers about a couple of stiffs you left behind in San Francisco.
I'm glad you reminded me.
Shall I plug him?
No, no. We are taking him with us.
Oh, that's what you think.
Take it easy, mate. This ain't going to hurt a bit.
A reek of chloroform filled the room and a fist pounded into my belly. It knocked my wind out, and at the same time, my nose collided with something wet and cold. I swung out but didn't connect. Before I could swing again, the room blurred and a ceiling light floated down to meet me. Then the lights went out altogether. At first, I couldn't figure it. It sounded like what a doctor hears through a stethoscope, or maybe an earthquake, or maybe ship engines, which it turned out to be. When the lights came on again, I was lying on a bunk in a stateroom. I staggered across to the wash basin and splashed water in my face.
Hello, you.
Enid, as I hardly live and breathe.
It could get worse.
Yeah, where are we?
Oh, not very far out. Not past the Farallone.
Good, I'm a stowaway and they'll put me off with the pilot.
Oh, no, you're not. Your passage is paid.
Mine? It is, huh?
It is. Do you know who you are?
Who am I?
Chester B.
Then I'm dead. They'll bury me at sea.
What?
Who are you?
I'm your widow.
What's the score, widow?
Chester and I booked passage on this ship a week ago. It was part of the plan. Chester and the Commodore worked it all out.
Yeah, the cup was to have been stolen from me on the train.
Yes, but when the Commodore discovered it was a fake, everything fell to pieces.
Yeah, he thought Chester was double-crossing him.
They forced Chet to talk. He told them Dimitri still had the genuine Vafio cup and had hired you for the double-cross. Maybe he really believed it. Anyway, they killed Dimitri.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing on them yet. But you're a material witness, sweetheart, to at least one of the killings. That's extraditable. When that dawns on them, they'll scuttle you, too.
It's already dawned on them. I'm desperate.
Yes, I notice. For you, you're practically hysterical.
We have to face facts.
Yeah, well, give me a couple to face right now. Where are the Commodore and Clarence?
Up on the bridge.
Good. All you have to do is walk straight up to the captain. He'll put them under arrest.
Well, that might be a good idea, darling. Only...
Only what?
Only the Commodore is the captain.
That tore it. Your salty talk had fooled me, Commodore. I never dreamed that you were really an old sea dog, and I do mean dog. But two can play at that game. From my own intimate knowledge of sea story magazines, I realized that all hands would be turned to in the cargo gear, and the crew quarters would be therefore empty. In more time than it takes to tell, Enid and I had fitted ourselves out in dungarees, jumpers, and watch caps, and turned to with them.
Preventer.
Oh, me? You may recall, Commodore, you may recall me as the man who ran for a fire extinguisher when the bosun yelled, "Stow the preventer." But experience is the best teacher, and by the time we hove to put the pilot over the side, things were in such a state of confusion that you had retreated to your cabin with a quadruple ration of grog. Seizing that moment, I threw Enid over the side, yelled, "Man overboard!" and jumped in after it. Wow. Once safely aboard the pilot schooner, we revealed our true identity and a merry laugh was enjoyed by all. It dropped us at the foot of Margaret and we waved warm farewells to our erstwhile rescuers, then to the snug haven of my office and a friendly cup, if you'll pardon the expression, in the grateful warmth of a gas radiator.
Unhealthy.
Who, me?
Gas fumes. Mm. Why don't you move into a building with steam heat?
I like this building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been here for a long time.
You don't make much money, do you?
You don't have to rub it in. It's a living.
You happy?
Sure I am.
Well, I guess it's all right then.
You know, sweetheart, there's something missing in you.
Oh, what?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, then how do you know?
Forget it.
Well, I guess I'll go.
Do you mind if I don't see you to the door?
Why should I?
Hey, you are human. Yeah, they're wet. Go ahead, sweetheart. Cry all you want. It's been tough. You shouldn't have kept it bottled up this long.
No, it's not what you think.
What is it?
It's you. You're so nice.
I'm nice?
Yeah, but you're no place. You never will be. And neither will I.
That, Commodore, is the cargo. It was nice seeing you again down at the hall. They tell me you and Clarence are both trying to turn state's evidence. But according to the late bulletins, Clarence was leading by a neck in the stretch. Get it? The DA was afraid the jury might not understand your salty talk. Period. End of sea chanty.
Okay, dear Sam, I hope the spelling is all right. I was so upset.
You hate me, then?
Oh, no. No. I suppose it's foolish going along thinking that your ideal doesn't have to look great. Oh, Sam, I just can't. I just can't imagine.
Don't you think I can explain that?
Oh, yes, I'm sure you can explain. But you did. You deserted your post and jumped overboard like a thinking rat.
That's right.
Oh, Sam, that's so unlike you. It was just by chance they were apprehended.
By chance, you say? Who do you think it was that got himself shot out of a torpedo tube in that submarine?
You, Sam?
No, you think I'm crazy? I did something few radio detectives ever do, sweetheart. I called the Harbor Patrol single-handed using only one nickel and had them picked up.
Oh, Sam, I wish I'd been there.
Well, it was just a small phone booth. Besides, if you'd been there, it would have been out of order or something.
Oh, Sam, you came through after all.
Aren't you ashamed that you ever doubted me?
Yes, I am. I'm a fool.
There. I forgive you.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
The Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Lorene Tuttle is Effie.
From the tough private eye to the softer world of the daytime serial, as we examine the world of the soap operas, in a few moments, on Grandma's Old Radio.
That this heart and mind embraces all day through. In that small cafe the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well. I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you.